Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 277 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a great show planned for you this week. Drummer of the band, we were promised jetpacks from Edinburgh, Scotland. Darren Lackey of the band is going to be joining us here shortly. Had the pleasure of going down to Numo's where they were playing last week and talking with Darren down in the green room, the bowels of the Numo's nightclub. Great spot, man. Great spot. You want to see a good show in Seattle? Go to Capitol Hill. Go to Numo's. A lot of our conversations have taken place in the bowels of that in that place. Good spot, man. And great chat with Darren. One very, very glaring and very, very embarrassing mistake happens in this episode, and I think it only happens once. Thank God. It could happen more than that, but I have yet to kind of listen back to the whole thing. I refer to Darren as Peter at one point, and I think it's at the end, and I'm very embarrassed. So, Darren, if you're listening to this, or if anybody in the band, We Were Promised Jetpacks, is listening to this, I don't know where that name came from. I knew your name was Darren, so very sorry. Very sorry for that one. Man, it has been a really weird weekend. It started out on Friday. I was going down to hang out with Aaron Mason and Nicholas Allers of the show Grapes of Rad, two good friends of mine. And on my way down there, I got stuck in traffic in my old neighborhood where we used to record this here podcast. As I'm sitting in my car, all of a sudden, 8 gunshots ring out. Bam, 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 bam. Like, not even like 100 feet from my car. Like, it sounded like it was so close. And I'm like looking around, not knowing what to do, right? Do I get down? What do I do, right? I immediately called 911 and they put me on hold immediately for like 15 minutes. And I'm looking around in other cars, and nobody seems to be panicking. I mean, what can you do, right? It was bumper-to-bumper traffic. You can't move at all, right? But 8 shots, man. 8 shots. And so I was right next to this hotel, or this motel, which I used to live right behind this motel, right? Right behind it. That's where we used to do the show. And this black SUV, like, pulls in behind me. And it kind of sounded like, you know, the gunshots were coming from that area. I went to the police blotter today and looked at that. And that black SUV was the suspected car that did the drive-by. First of all, that's kind of scary, right? The car that, like, pulled up right next to me is the one that may have been involved in the shooting. Second of all, it took place at that hotel that I was parked right out, or not parked, but sitting out in front of. And then third thing, it was only like 6 p.m., and there's a drive-by in rush hour traffic? Man, even the criminals are stupid. I mean, why would you do a shooting at 6 p.m.? Nobody was killed, by the way, so this is not like, you know, I'm not trying to make light of this at all. It's a serious situation, and I hope they catch whoever was doing the shooting. But holy crap, man, I've never been that close to a shooting before, and it really freaked me out. It really freaked me out, and I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. I finally got on the line with the 911 operator and told him what had happened, and he was like, oh, yeah, we got a bunch of calls on this one. Police are en route, so good, I guess. But who does a drive-by at peak traffic hours on a Friday night at 6 p.m. in the middle of you know, traffic mayhem, where you're not going to be able to go anywhere? Who does that? That's stupid. It's stupid to shoot things anyway and try to shoot people. But Jesus, man, have some smarts. Good God. Yeah, so that was my weekend. It's right next to a shooting. God, what is happening to Seattle? There was another shooting in Seattle this weekend that ended up killing somebody and wounding like three other women. What's happening in my city? What's happening here? This is insane. I don't know what to do about it. Man, I just don't know. I just don't know. Let's get back on track, shall we? That was my weekend. That was my week on. There you go. There you go. Seahawks won today. Yay. That's good stuff. All right. Okay. We got this email really quickly. I wanted to read this email to you guys because it's really awesome. And it comes from a former guest of the Air Raid podcast. It was really awesome to get this. I'm not going to say his name because that would be too much bragging. But I want to half brag and just read you this, what he sent to me. This was done a while ago. And he writes, dude, just listen to the podcast. So much fun. It was so awesome to listen back and remember all the things we discussed. Far and away, this was the best interview I've had anyone do with me. You're awesome, man. Enjoy the sun, and let's definitely hang in December. I'll be up there for Christmas. Awesome. Keep rocking. He signs off. That just made me feel really good. I have the tendency to get down on myself on this show a little bit. You know, because sometimes we get a lot of people criticizing the way that I do the intro to the show, like right now where I'm running on way too long. Get a lot of criticism for that. Also because I don't say words right, get a lot of criticism for that. But everybody loves the interviews, right? Not everybody loves the whole intro part of the show. But this was you know. Hearing that people like this and that people that have been on the show before, like really, you know, kind of a big guest, enjoyed himself and said it was the best interview ever that he's ever done, that's pretty rad, man. That's pretty rad. So thank you if you're listening. Okay, let's do this, shall we? Let's get into it with Darren Lackey, who I accidentally call Peter. In this episode, you've probably heard of We Were Promised Jetpacks. They came out with an album in 2009 called These Four Walls, which got a lot of play in the United States. These guys, man, we're gonna get into this too. But they formed in high school, and high school over in Scotland is not the same as high school over here in the States. They are much younger in high school over there. And so it's pretty impressive that they've been together for so long. Let's see, formed back around like 2003 or something like that. They've been going strong ever since and doing a lot of touring, picked up by Fat Cat Records, and really just kind of took off. Their latest album, which we're going to be featuring here in a moment, is really great. It's called Unraveling. It came out in 2014. And we're going to be playing some of that. And, you know, maybe little These Four Walls, Quiet Little Voices will play in the middle of the chat as well. Shall we? Okay, let's do that. So let's get into it. Let's get into it. This is a great conversation with Darren Lackey, the drummer of We Were Promised Jetpacks. This song is called Safety in Numbers, off of their album Unraveling that came out in 2014. Oh, man, before we do that, they are on tour right now, as of right now. November 24th, they'll be at the Paper Tiger in San Antonio, Texas. The 25th at The Parish in Austin, Texas. The 27th, Vinyl Music Hall in Pensacola, Florida. The 28th, The Social in Orlando, Florida. 29th, Underbelly in Jacksonville, Florida. December 1st, The Masquerade in Atlanta, Georgia. And it goes on and on, folks. Go to wewerepromisedjetpacks.com and click on tour dates and find out more where they're going to be coming up. Okay, throughout December. All right? Okay. All right, like I said, this is Safety in Numbers by We Were Promised Jetpacks. Wow. Off of the 2014 album Unraveling. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us. And I feel somewhere in between. I looked up above and my number comes off. And my bubble in burst, but the clouds had dispersed and I didn't So, is this kind of a normal length for tour for you guys?
Yeah, usually over here we're very rarely here for a short amount of time.
Yeah,
it makes more sense for us to just sort of do the whole country all at once.
Right,
keep coming back and forward.
Yeah, can I get you to hold that just a little bit closer to your face?
Yep.
There you go. Do you like that? Do you like doing a longer stint?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think
yeah.
I think you sort of get into a rhythm by the, sort of a few days in, and then you know, I think it's better for a tour if you're out for longer.
Yeah.
I think the short ones can sort of come and go a bit fast.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I mean, you've been doing this for a little while now. I mean,
yeah.
You guys have been a band for what, 11 years? No.
Yeah, 12 years. I think.
12 years.
12 years. Yeah, 2003.
Yeah. Yeah, and started touring, doing U.S. dates and stuff pretty soon after you guys started, right?
2009 was the first time we did anything. We came.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We played, I think the first show we ever did, we supported a band. I can't remember who the band was. We supported a band at the Bowery Ballroom in New York.
Yeah.
And we had been coming over for South by Southwest anyway, so we sort of made a stop off in New York.
Yeah.
And that was, it was our first trip over.
I was way off.
Yeah, we're 2003.
By about six years.
2003, we were still in high school. So.
Oh, man. So this thing started when you guys were in high school.
Yeah, we were all friends. We've all been friends for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Myself and Sean, the bassist, we've been friends since we were four.
That's awesome.
The same with Adam and Mike as well.
So who started playing the instrument first?
We had a thing in high school where if you passed this music test, it was like pretty much a music aptitude test.
Right.
And if you passed it, you were allowed to get free lessons. on any instrument you picked.
What?
So, and it was great because, I mean, you got taken out of class. You got like a pass to get out of class and go.
So
just
you
play.
Worked really fucking so hard.
I was like,
I'm going to try
and do this. And myself and Sean both passed the test. We were in the same music class, and we both passed the test, and we both picked drums. So he was actually a drummer as well.
Yeah,
back in the day, but he put the sticks down.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's pretty cool, man. Yeah. I wish they did that here in the US.
Always try and get it during math class. That was the aim. It was like, always try. Speak to my teacher.
So wait a minute. Did you get out of math class?
You got out, well, yeah, just whenever.
To do that?
It was once a week. You got one lesson a week for an hour.
Okay.
And then you would get, yeah, you would just get given a slot.
But what happens when you go back to math class and you missed, like, the study that was happening, you know?
Guess you just gotta...
You gotta pass.
Pretend that you gotta catch up. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean,
so you do have to catch up.
Well, I think you were meant to catch up. It's just whether you wanted to or not. Was
okay. Okay. So that's where the love of playing drums started for
you.
Yeah.
First year at high school.
Really?
Yeah. Like 11 years old.
Oh man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
11 years old in high school.
Yeah.
Wow.
First year of high school. I was a young one. I was one of the youngest in the year.
No kidding.
I think most other people were like 12, but...
Gotcha.
I didn't quite get there yet.
Yeah, see, high school over here starts, I think it's like either 15, 16.
Yeah, you got the middle school
Yeah, totally. Bit different.
Yeah,
a bit different. So, did you come from a musical household? Like, was music a thing for your parents, or...?
No, nobody in my family plays an instrument or anything.
Really?
Yeah, my mom's big into her music, but she doesn't play anything. No, very unmusical family.
Really?
Yeah,
that kind of surprises me. Like, usually when I talk to musicians on this show, like, it all kind of stems from somewhere. Like, the parents were listening to a lot of music if they didn't play an instrument or something like that. But it's all got a kind of a beginning. Yours was just getting out of math class.
Mine was pretty much just let's try and get out of class. Playing the drums would be pretty cool. Let's get out of class.
Let's do this. Yeah. What were your first influences? Major influences in music?
Personally, or as a band?
Personally.
Yeah.
It's about you, dude. It's all about you right now.
I was sort of big into, back in those days, like the kind of pop. Punky kind of bands, like your Blink-182s and stuff.
I can tell you're a little bit embarrassed by it.
No, well, I mean, there's worse things you could be listening to, which I definitely listened to before I got to that stage. So I still shout at my mum to this day for buying me all these terrible pop albums.
Like what?
I don't even think you would know what they are over here. It's like British bands.
Okay,
really terrible.
Okay.
British pop bands.
Like what? Give me an example.
There was one called Steps.
Steps.
Yeah, they were like cheesy, horrible, you know.
Like super pop.
Dances and all that stuff.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You're talking like almost like kiddie.
Super popular in the UK, nowhere else in the world.
Right, right.
I do play arenas in the UK. But
really?
Yeah, nowhere else in the world.
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of music would you equate that to over here? Maybe could you give an example? Like Backstreet Boys
One
or something
Direction,
like that? One Direction.
Backstreet Boys.
Okay,
yeah,
that kind of shit.
Yeah, that kind of shit. Yeah.
Yeah, you can swear.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay, so that's pretty interesting. And then getting kind of, as you're growing older, you're getting into the stuff that was more popular.
When I was growing up, I used to go to an under-18s rock club every week, and they would sort of play a mix of all kind of rock and punk and emo and all that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, that's when I started getting into a bit, you know, slightly better stuff. But like Biffy Clyro were a big band for me when I was growing up. I used to travel around the UK, sort of following them about, watching their gigs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd travel just for the night and go with some friends and see them in like tiny little rooms.
Yeah.
Like 100 capacity venues and stuff, and there was no one there, and it's brilliant. Yeah.
Do you ever think back fondly on those times?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
there was like a night where we drove like 6 hours there, watched the show in this tiny room.
Yeah,
and then just straight after the show, we just drove right back.
Oh man, I love that.
Like I used to go to quite a lot of gigs.
Yeah, me too.
Now that I'm here, now that I'm, it's I'm at them every night. I don't go as much now.
Pretty much.
I've got a night off. What I do? Not go to a music venue.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not going to make my ears bleed.
Yeah.
I used to do the same thing. You know, in high school when I was like 16, 17 years old, we would come over here to Seattle. I grew up over a bit away, and we'd have to take a ferry boat. So it was about the same thing. It's about a 6-hour tour, you know, to get to like see a Built to Spill show. And there was one all ages club here in Seattle. It was called the Rock Candy.
Yeah.
Back in the '90s. And one person in our group would get violently ill every time we came to it, because that was the only spot you could go to see an all ages show. Right. And it was just, it was terrible and amazing at the same time, because it was, you know,
kind of sticking to the floor kind of place.
Yeah, totally. Toilets are totally clogged. Yeah. Don't touch anything. it was pretty bad.
That was pretty much what the rock club I used to go to. That was that venue.
I think that's all like all ages rock clubs.
Yeah, it was like the walls were wet with sweat. Yeah. It was just people's sweat everywhere.
Right. Yeah, every once in a while you get that drop that just hits you in the head,
sweaty,
and you
know
what
drop.
It is, but you can't just make yourself think about it, right? Because if you did, it'd make you vomit.
Yeah.
Right. So you start playing the drums, and it just kind of takes off. Like it takes hold on you. You're into it.
It was something I really enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
I got my own kit at home, much to the obvious delight to the surrounding neighbors and such. But it was something I just liked doing. And then myself and Adam, we got into sort of just playing together, just the two of us. He would come around to my house, bring a little amp, set up a little microphone and his guitar, and the two of us would just sit and sort of jam for a while. Yeah, it was pretty fun. I live right next to like a big stadium, where there used to be quite a lot of gigs on.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to, anytime there was a gig on at the stadium, we would always open the windows and try and play the songs of the band or the pop star or whatever that was at the
play along
playing
with the
stadium.
Oh,
no, we're just playing while they were all walking along. But obviously, it's probably sounded
that's
terrible.
That's like your first show. I mean, that's your first show right there. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Do you ever try to sneak into that stadium?
No, I've never tried. Well, I have. Over the years, not for gigs, but I've been in there before.
It seems like that would be the natural progression of things if you lived right next door.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big park. It's a big rugby stadium, Scotland.
Okay.
This is Scotland National Rugby Stadium.
Gotcha.
So like there was like a big gate in the park that you could easily fit underneath the gate.
Uh huh.
We just used to go in there quite a lot.
Yeah.
Never for gigs, so I've been to gigs there, but
just for rugby matches.
No, just to. Be annoying, just to be annoying to security guards.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh God, kids again,
running around the field.
Yeah,
stoned out of your mind.
No, never.
No,
never.
Come on.
Not back in the days.
No. Gotcha. We'll cut that part out. We'll edit that out.
My mum will be listening to this. She will. She'll find it.
She'll find it, huh?
She does. She finds everything.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, maybe I'll cut out all my swears, too.
Oh, the swearing's fine. We're Scottish. That's part of the vocabulary.
That's part of the vocabulary. Got it. What kind of family did you grow up in, man? Were you quite... Was it a strict household? Or
no.
It sounds like it was pretty lackadaisical.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I've
been pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Got a good family. They're very supportive of what we do.
Yeah.
My mum's our biggest fan, obviously.
That's great, man.
She has every newspaper clipping or review or poster of gigs all around the world. She has like a big, huge suitcase full of stuff at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it ever get embarrassing?
No. I mean, it's been happening for so many years now. I'm just kind of used to it. We did play, we went on tour with Jimmy Eat World a few years ago. And
was that one of the big tours that you actually went on? Right?
Yeah, that was like our,
one of the first.
Our biggest support
tour
that we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
It was a US one, and we were playing at Terminal 5 in New York. We did like two nights there with Jimmy Eat World, and my parents flew over. They're pretty big Jimmy Eat World fans. It was a band I loved when I was growing up.
Yeah.
It was quite a nice sort of sentimental moment, so they flew over and watched the show. And she... obviously got my mum backstage, and she's like just wandering about. She's like knocking on their dressing room, trying to get photos. She like saw him in the car, saw Jim, the singer, in the corridor, and she's like, "Hello, hello, come over here, come over here." And it was my mum and Sean's mum and dad. Yeah. They came over, and they've got photos of them hugging him backstage and stuff.
Oh man.
Then she took my, they played a few months later back in Scotland, and she took my lanyard, like my AAA pass from that tour.
Yeah.
And they were playing in Glasgow, and she went to the show. I think we were on tour at the time. And she just went, took the lanyard, showed it to the security, and they let her backstage, and then she just knocked on the door and went in, and she was like, "Hello, remember me?" And they were like, "Oh yeah, Peter's mum." Like,
really?
Yeah, they invited her in, and she was sitting awesome. Drinking with them all night.
That is great. Oh man, that makes me so
she's
happy.
She's cooler than me. I think more people know who she is than
they know who me. You
yeah,
are.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, that sounds great, dude. I love people who get and stay excited about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, oh, she's so excited all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Have you lost a little bit? Do you still stay excited for tours and especially these long stints?
No, I love touring.
Yeah?
Yeah. I wouldn't be doing anything else. There's nothing I'd rather be doing.
Yeah.
It's good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what's not to love about? You know, you get to see loads of different cities all around the world.
Well, sure. You definitely can't complain about it.
No, I can't complain.
But, I mean, there's something to be said for laying in your own bed at night and being able to watch Netflix or something
that's
like that.
True. That's
you know,
true.
And yeah. Peruse Facebook.
Hotels are all right.
Okay. They got good Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Sharing a bed with one of your friends. Yeah, you know, it's fine.
Right. One of your smelly friends.
Yeah.
You
know, you get used to it.
Right. So when did, you know, when this started to take off for you guys, when We Were Promised Jetpacks started to take off, like, it must have been fairly exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when we got, I was doing a study abroad at the time when we got sort of signed, mm-hmm. or when we got told we were going to be, our record label wanted to sign us. So I was like, I was in Germany doing this horrible 4 months abroad that I hated.
Really? Why did you hate it?
Well, I hated it at first. I actually ended up really enjoying it. But at first, I was staying in a really terrible, like, student accommodation place where everyone was mean. Everyone was mean to me. I just didn't really enjoy it at first. You know, as I say, got over it. But yeah, I was over there when we found out, and it was like the most exciting thing ever.
Now, was this when you were going to college or university?
Yeah, I was in university at the time.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. And what were you studying?
I was studying. In Germany, I was studying German as a foreign language. It was like part of my course. I had to do a semester there.
So like the basic requirements for like a major.
Well, my
or something
my,
like that,
my right? major was film and media, but it was European film and media with German. So I had to sort of do the language as well, and that was.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Did you finish?
I graduated.
Yeah,
I've got
your degree.
I've got my degree
in European.
In European film and media, one of the most pointless, stupid degrees. Don't anyone listening that's thinking about it, don't do it.
Have you ever thought about like maybe directing one of your band videos?
Well, I not really.
You could make it really European.
That is the kind of thing. I know all about Spanish film. That was one of the things that I wanted to do when I went to university. I wanted to do the editing, the filming, sort of like the more hands-on stuff.
Sure.
And that German trip actually ruined that for me.
Yeah.
I missed one of the classes that I needed to take to do my final sort of piece as a documentary, and I had to write a big dissertation essay instead.
Yeah.
Which was...
How'd that go?
I was so uninterested in it. I was so disinterested that it didn't go very well. I spent my whole university life thinking I'm going to make a film at the end of this.
Right.
And I wasn't allowed to. Which was,
oh,
but that was okay because I knew I was getting signed, and then I was going to go out.
I know.
Road,
that,
so.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I asked if you finished, because, I don't know if I would.
Well,
if like you had some like big, exciting thing happen, and I'm not saying that like it was attached to like billions of dollars or anything like that, but if you have some big exciting thing, you're still young when you're
well,
in college.
I think it was, when we got the sort of the offer through from Fat Cat,
mm-hmm.
they were very understanding of the fact that all four of us were still in university,
right?
And we were all just going into our final year.
Yeah.
So they were like, you know, you can we'll hold off, like we'll sign you, but we'll hold off until you finish your studies
we'll
if you all
done.
Want to do that. Yeah. So they waited until we were done, which was nice, very nice of them.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So they waited until we were finished, and as soon as we were finished, we went into the studio and
recorded
the
first album.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard some of you say in the past that you weren't very happy with that recording, the first album.
Yeah, it wasn't done as good as it could have been.
Is that still the case? Are you still kind of unhappy with it, or has it grown on you?
I think we'll always be a bit disappointed in how the whole process went down and how it turned out and stuff. We were meant to be going to do the record with, like, a pretty good producer, and it ended up being his son that did it instead.
Oh,
because there was some sort of rumor, or some sort of story that he had tinnitus, so he couldn't come in and do the recording, and it was a bit We'd never been in a studio before.
Yeah.
For any length of time, like a proper studio. We didn't really know what we were doing. We were very susceptible to what we were told to
sure,
do.
Sure, sure.
So we ended up recording the whole album live, all of us in the one room, no separation between any amps, drums. Oh, so there's drums.
a lot of bleed through.
Yeah, everything bleeds through.
Yeah. It's not like you can go back and fix something.
Not really. Kind of. It got fixed, to be honest. Yeah. It was the original recordings. I'm glad no one's ever heard them because they were shocking. They were terrible.
Yeah.
And we ended up Peter Katus over in New York, who's worked with, like, he works with Frightened Rabbit, the National,
right,
bands like that. We managed to get him to sort of fix as much of it as he could.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he rescued it. He definitely rescued it.
I got to tell you, I'm a fan of the first album.
Yeah, I think it's got a sort of raw, edgy sound kind of thing about it that we didn't intend to have when it came out. But I think that's part of its charm and why people like it so much. Yeah. It's kind of...
Well, I think, you know, you guys are the type of band, too, that whatever you do, it's still gonna sound good because your songs are solid.
Well, that's,
you know,
hopefully
to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember hearing an old interview with you guys that where somebody had stated that, I can't remember who, that they weren't happy with that original recording, or that none of you were happy with that original recording. And you always see bands, it kind of turned a light on in my head when I heard that, because you always see bands, like, later on in their career, they'll go back and actually redo, you know, their first album or mm-hmm. or one of their more popular albums that they weren't entirely happy with. It's like a director's cut, you know, mm-hmm. like the Blu-ray director's cut or something. It's like the seventh cut of Blade Runner.
The only problem with that is the director's cut is often
worse.
Not good. Very often nowhere near as good.
But have you ever thought about that? Has that ever been talked about? Like, you guys would go back sometime in the future
and redo it? I don't think we're the type of band that would do that. I think it kind of, the first album kind of has its own little kind of cult following type thing. Like, I've seen recently that people are trying to get the vinyl, like, they're trying to get the LP so badly that there's copies selling for like $400 on eBay.
Yeah.
Which,
really,
to me, is one of the strangest things ever.
Does that kind of piss you off a little bit? It's like, wait a minute.
Well, it's making me consider putting my copy of it up on the internet for sale.
You know what? Sign it and then sell it for $800.
I know. My mom has one, obviously. I think she's probably got about five of them. I think there's only about 1,000 in the world. She's probably got about five of them.
That's rainy day money.
Yeah, she's got right one in the frame where all signed and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great,
I'm
man.
Like, we'll get that shipped on. We'll put it on eBay.
God,
we'll
your mom sounds awesome.
We'll
dude.
Split the money. We couldn't do that though.
Yeah, yeah.
But totally. No, I don't think we would ever go back and redo it just because of the.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are very nice about it. They tell us very nice things about that album.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
seems to have helped a lot of people.
Well, I don't think. I mean, stuff, so. You know. Let your recent or current career, you know, be an example of it. I mean, you know, if that album was as bad as you think it was, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Maybe. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I think we all understand that. I think it's a thing with bands. I can't speak for all bands.
Well, it's your own art.
But I think when you spend so long trying to get, like, you know exactly how you want the song to sound in your head, and it's quite often hard to make that exactly
right.
What it
right.
is. So you're all, there's always, and I've spoken to some other bands about it before, there's always a little kind of slight hint of, could have done that better, but could we have done that like that? And there's always a little bit of doubt, but
yeah,
that's always there.
Right, right. Now, your first studio experience, I want to get away from talking about the first album because you've probably talked about that death, but the experience of going into the studio for the first time, that is a heart-wrenching experience, I think, for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe heart-wrenching is the wrong word, but it's anxiety-making.
Yeah, totally.
You know? I remember my first time in a studio and just being so awkward and so like nervous mm-hmm. about what I was doing, because now there was somebody else there that was working with you that you didn't necessarily know.
Yeah.
And it just it, like I could never do it.
So
I could never
do it. Into everything you're
yeah.
doing. And,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. All my insecurities came out. You know, was that the case for you as well?
Like as I say, we had only been in a studio a handful of times before mm-hmm. that, just recording kind of little EPs while we were in high school and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did 3 days in a proper studio just before. It's actually in the studio that we just recorded the last album.
Uh-huh.
We spent 3 days in there before we went and did the first album, just to sort of try and get a feel for a studio and try and like know what we wanted from the songs. And,
sure.
But yeah, as you say, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we were all pretty young and kind of, ooh, well, there's loads of microphones around me.
Yeah, everything. I don't want to knock something over. Yeah, this everything looks very hit, expensive. You can
hear everything I hit, like, right. perfectly clear. Oh, God. So that, yeah, the demos that came out of that didn't turn out how we wanted them. And we all kind of left and we're like, oh, that wasn't very good. That was totally pointless. But then we've sort of, over the years, realized that it was absolutely us.
Yeah.
That was to yeah. blame for it not being very good, because we just didn't assert ourselves and what we wanted. We just kind of
uh-huh.
went along with whatever we were told to do.
Now, were those the demos that you sent out to the radio stations and everything?
No, they were just like, I think Fat Cat sent us into the studio and they were just like, just record two or three songs, mm-hmm. like see how you get on, see if you like it. I think it was while we were looking for a studio to go into.
Oh, okay.
And they were just like, see how you like it, see what happens.
So wait, did they pay for that too? To do like the initial kind of studio?
Yeah, I think we got...
Feel it out kind yeah. of thing? Really?
Just, yeah.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah, but I think they did. I don't think we had any money at the time, so...
Well, you weren't making any money in German film.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
For sure. Yeah.
We scrimped a bit on the actual recording of the album, so that's probably because of that demo time before. Quickly, record it all live. As fast as we can.
Right. It's taken out of the bucket.
Yeah.
Right. So as you guys progressed, the latest album, which came out last year, right, mm-hmm. Called Unraveled.
Yep.
Your sound kind of morphed a little bit.
Yeah.
You guys, there's a couple songs on there. I think there's a couple songs on there that don't even have any lyrics. They're just all instrumental.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
There's one. Yeah, there's definitely one.
Is it just the one?
Yeah,
okay.
Just the one.
Well, it's a very... I mean this latest album, Unraveled, is probably one of my favorites of yours. And that...
Thank you.
That song, and I'm totally spacing on the name of it. That
the instrumental.
Just instrumental is probably one of my favorites.
Peace of Mind.
Yeah, there you go.
See, I've got all the other names yeah. for them, the production names.
It would have been really embarrassing if you called it by the wrong
know,
name,
but
too,
I hope
right?
I didn't. I'm still not 100% sure.
But that's definitely one of my favorite songs, and it just, I mean, it shows how tight of a band you guys are, because I think instrumentals are, I've always loved it when, you know, bands like Sonic Youth or Mogwai or, why is their name escaping me? Explosions in the Sky,
mm-hmm.
you know, go on those extended versions of a song.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's the, we're good, they were actually pretty good friends with Explosions in the Sky.
Really?
Through our old tour manager, yeah.
And yeah.
Like, we've played with them a few times, and they're one of all four of our favorite bands. Like, we absolutely love them.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Were you listening to a lot of that when you were writing that last album?
I think we had listened to a lot of Explosions mm-hmm. in between the second album and the third, because they had just released that, their most recent one, in between
right.
that.
Yeah,
and it's just I think all the other three guys would agree that it's one of our favorite albums.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I think that's, you know, and when we've played with them before and seen them live, and
God, they're so good.
They're unbelievable.
And an
they're
amazing.
Also the, they're
live
also
show.
The nicest people. you'll ever meet in your entire life. Nice. And that is not an exaggeration at all.
Oh, that's great.
They're absolutely lovely guys.
Isn't that wonderful when like you meet somebody that you've admired for a long time?
Yeah,
that's totally. just great.
It was really good. They're really nice guys.
Yeah.
Fantastic band.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you were listening to a lot of that stuff during the writing of the last album.
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah. It's cool for, I'm always interested in what kind of influences people and, you know, influences the art.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys working on a new record?
Yeah,
right now.
I mean, we're writing at the minute. We'll be playing a few new songs tonight.
Oh, cool.
We've just started playing them on this tour, so this will be like the 8th. I think this is the 8th night of the tour, 9th or something. So it's only like the 8th or 9th time we've played them. So it's quite exciting for us. It's like it's a really good point where you've sort of finished a new song. You can throw it in at the set.
You can gauge how it does, and where you can go with it. And
yeah, exactly.
And get more comfortable with it and everything like that.
We just the week before this tour, we went to like a sort of studio retreat. It's like this like nice little cottage in the middle of the Highlands in Scotland. Uh-huh. It's like right next to a loch. And it's just hills everywhere. There's no, the nearest town is like 15 miles away. Like you're just in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
We've been there, that will be the third time we've been there. And there's like a little studio attached to it. And we just go there for like a week at a time. And just sort of, you're in the studio from sort of 10 in the morning till 2 in the morning.
That's
just
awesome.
Constantly playing. And
that's cool.
So we just finished recording sort of 5 new demos.
Yeah.
Just the week right before on. This tour.
Excellent.
And we've been trying a few of them out.
Yeah, yeah. And so will you guys go back into that studio when you get back home?
Yeah. I don't think it's not somewhere where we've ever recorded anything to release. It's just we go there. It's like really relaxing. It's a nice place. It's really easy to work there.
Yeah.
We usually just take like sort of a producer with us.
Well, that makes so much sense to me too. You got to be comfortable in your space, right? When you're trying to make your art. And there's a studio up here. I don't know if you've heard of it, Bear Creek.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a, like, I think it's Bear Creek that has like a treehouse studio. Have you seen this?
I've seen pictures of the treehouse studio.
Holy shit! Like that would be comfortable.
Yeah, that's like, it's
there's
brilliant.
A deck around it and everything, man.
Yeah,
sounds amazing.
That does sound.
It's
a little bit far away from, you know, the nice little retreat in Scotland.
Right,
maybe
right.
An hour and a half from my house.
We'll see if the record label will pay for a year.
Yeah,
and you guys can just come and
live
in Washington and do that.
Back at the start when you really liked us, come on.
Remember that whole thing you did with the demo and everything
let
like
let
that. We want to try this one out. Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
signed us and let us wait a whole year. Let's go to the treehouse.
So playing live, going on tour, do you still get nervous when you get up onto stage before playing in front of big crowds?
Nah, not really anymore.
No?
Just kind of, I guess you, at the risk of sounding a bit cheesy, you kind of feed off it.
Yeah.
Like you go on, like we had last night in Portland, we had one of the best shows we've played in a long, long time.
Oh, great,
like,
man.
We just had it was sold out. Super busy. It was great. Like the crowd were going crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I think that sort of worked for us as well. I think that was the best show we've played in a long time.
That's great, man.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, it's good to hear. And you guys are on tour right now.
We are.
And we'll put those dates up on the website. And,
appreciate it.
And get some people out there. Hopefully.
Hopefully. That is the aim.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, Peter. It's an absolute honor and a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Can't wait for the new tunes.
Yeah, see how they go tonight.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And there it was. There it was, folks. I called Darren Peter right at the end. God dang it. My apologies to the band, my apologies to Darren, and best of luck on the rest of the tour. Once again, November 24th, they're at the Paper Tiger in San Antonio, Texas, the 25th at the Parish in Austin, Texas, November 27th, Vinyl Music Hall in Pensacola, Florida. The 28th, The Social in Orlando, Florida. 29th at the Underbelly, Jacksonville, Florida, and on into early December. So go to, once again, wewerepromisedjetpacks.com. Check out the tour dates and see them live. It is totally, totally worth it. And get your hands on this this latest album called Unraveling. It is so, so good. So good. One of the things that I find super, super fun in following a band for years is watching how they progress and watching how they mature into the bands that they are today. And this one has been a lot of fun to watch because they were great to start out with. No matter what they say about that first album, to the listener, it is pretty great and pretty phenomenal. And then going on, they got this Unraveling album that is just amazingly grown up, and very very melodic, very rocking. Can I be any more lame by trying to describe this? I can't. It's freezing cold here, and I am literally wrapped in a blanket right now. So let's do this. Let's end the show, shall we?
Okay.
Big thanks to We Were Promised Jetpacks for coming on. Okay. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. We're available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio, and now the Spreaker apps for your mobile devices, so get us there as well. Or just visit our website, air-raid.net, to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast. You can tweet at us at airraidnet, or send me an email at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about this show. Share it on Facebook. Retweet it on Twitter, or share it on Twitter. Whatever you do, tell it to somebody in a conversation. Bring it up. Okay? Yeah. Sign somebody up while they aren't looking. That's a way to do it. Okay. We're going to leave this week with the song Peaks and Troughs off of the 2014 album Unraveling by We Were Promised Jetpacks. Thank you so much for listening this week. We'll be back next time, next Monday, with an all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for you with Manatee Commune. Going to be a good one there, too, man. It's going to be awesome. Okay, Peaks and Troughs by We Were Promised Jetpacks. Oh, my God. I'm awful at this. I'm terrible. I'm not getting any better. It's never going to get better. Peaks and Troughs. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week.